हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 12, The Expansions of Advaita Charya and Gadadhara Pandit. Verse 1, 12, 29 to 35, page 81. When Kamalakanta Vishwasa, that's Vishwas.
Vishwas.
Welcome, Vishwas.
Yeah. So, because before it was the Bengali was more kind of Sanskrit. You know, this would be Sadhu Bhasha. So it's Vishwasa. I was thinking, wow, Vishwasa, what a far out name. Never heard of that before. And they just say, that's Vishwas. It's like, okay. Was in Jagannath Puri. He sent a note through someone to Maharaj Prataparudra. No one knew of that note, but somehow or other it reached the hands of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That note established Advaita Charya as an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it also mentioned that Advaita Charya had recently incurred a debt of about 300 rupees that Kamalakanta Vishwasa wanted to liquidate. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became unhappy upon reading the note, although his face still shone as bright as the moon. Thus, smiling, he spoke as follows. He has established Advaita Acharya as an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is nothing wrong in this, for he is indeed the Lord himself, but he has made the incarnation of Godhead a poverty-stricken beggar. Therefore, I shall punish him in order to correct him. Srila Prabhupada. To describe a man as an incarnation of God or Narayana, and at the same time present him as poverty-stricken, is contradictory, and it is the greatest offense. The Mayavadi philosophers engage in the missionary work of spoiling the Vedic culture by preaching that everyone is God. Missionary work of spoiling the Vedic culture. They engage in that. By preaching that everyone is God, describe a poverty-stricken man as Daridra Narayan or poor Narayan. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never accepted such foolish and unauthorized ideas. He strictly warned, Mayavadi Bhashya Shunile Hoya Sarvanash. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 6.169. Anyone who follows the principles of Mayavad philosophy is certainly doomed. Since a fool needs to be reformed, such a fool needs to be reformed by punishment. Although it is contradictory to say that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or his incarnation, is poverty-stricken, we find in the revealed scriptures that when the Lord incarnated as Vamana, he begged some land from Maharaj Bali. Everyone knows, however, that Vamana Deva was not at all poverty-stricken. His begging from Maharaj Bali was a device to favor him. When Maharaj Bali actually gave the land, Vamanadeva exhibited his all-powerful position by covering the three worlds with three steps. One should not accept the so-called Daridra Narayans as incarnations, because they are completely unable to show the opulence of genuine incarnations of God. And so even though the Lord may take that position, he can still establish himself as the Supreme Lord. He has that opulence, he has that power. But these Daridra Narayans, they're just poor, that's all. Right. 1.236. The Lord ordered Govinda, from the day on, do not allow that Baulia Kamalakanta Vishwasa to come here. Right? Because they're now saying that he's a Baul. Right? Huh?
So
Baul is the Upper Sampradaya.
Yeah, but he knew that Lord Chaitanya beforehand? He knew that he is Baul?
No. He's just basically saying that, you know, the bowels, maybe they say stuff like this. So he's just comparing them like that, you know.
So bowels, they say that it's not something like that?
I don't know. We'll find out now. The Baulias or Baulas are one of 13 unauthorized sects that passed as followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord ordered Govinda, so that means they're already there. Lord Chaitanya is present, there's all these bogus guys, right? The Lord ordered Govinda, his personal servant, not to allow Kamalakanta Vishwasa to come into his presence because he had become a Baulia. Thus, although the Baul Sampradaya, Aul Sampradaya, and Sahajya Sampradaya, as well as the Smartas, Jatagosais, Ativadhis, Chudadharis, and Gauranga Nagaris, claim to belong to the succession of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord actually rejected them. 1.12.37. When Kamalakanta Vishwasa heard about this punishment by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was very unhappy. But when Advaita Mahaprabhu heard about it, he was greatly pleased. Srila Prabhupada. In the Bhagavad Gita 9.29, the Lord says, Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshyo svinapriyaha. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. The Supreme Personality of Godhead being equal to everyone, no one can be his enemy, nor can anyone be his friend. Since everyone is a part or son of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord cannot be partial and regard someone as a friend and someone as an enemy. Thus, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu punished Kamalakanta Vishwasa by no longer allowing him to come into his presence, although the punishment was actually very hard on him, Sri Advaita Prabhu, understanding the inner meaning of such punishment, was happy because he appreciated that the Lord had actually favored Kamalakanta Vishwasa. Therefore, he was not at all unhappy. Devotees should always be happy with all the dealings of their master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A devotee may be put into difficulty or opulence, but he should accept both as gifts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and jubilantly engage in the service of the Lord in all circumstances. 1.2.38. Seeing Kamalakanta Vishwasa unhappy, Advaitacharya Prabhu told him, "You are greatly fortunate to have been punished by the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." Srila Prabhupada. This is an authoritative judgment by Sri Advaita Prabhu. He clearly advises that one should not be unhappy when reverses come upon him by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Devotees should always be happy to receive the fortune awarded him by the Supreme Lord, which seems pleasant or unpleasant according to one's judgment. 1.12.39.40. Advaita Acharya continued, "Formerly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always respected me as his senior, but I did not like such respect. Therefore, my mind being afflicted by unhappiness, I made a plan. Thus, I expounded the Yoga Vashishta, which considers liberation the ultimate goal of life. For this, the Lord became angry at me and treated me with apparent disrespect." Srila Prabhupada. There is a book of the name Yoga Vashishta that Mayavadis generally favor because it is full of impersonal understandings regarding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with no touch of Vaishnavism. Factually, all Vaishnavas should avoid such a book, but Advaitacharya Prabhu, wanting punishment from the Lord, began to support the impersonal statements of the Yoga Vashishta. Thus, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became extremely angry at him and seemingly treated him disrespectfully. 1.2.41. Advaitacharya continued, "When chastised by Lord Chaitanya, I was very happy to receive a punishment similar to that awarded Sri Mukunda, Srila Prabhupada. Sri Mukunda, a great friend and associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, used to visit many places where people were against the Vaishnava cult. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to know of this, he punished Mukunda, forbidding him to see him again. Although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was soft like a flower, he was also strict like a thunderbolt. And everyone was afraid to allow Mukunda to come again into the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mukunda, therefore, being very sorry, asked his friends whether he would one day be allowed to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When the devotees brought this inquiry to Lord Chaitanya, the Lord replied, 'Mukunda will get permission to see me after many millions of years.' When they gave this information to Mukunda, he danced with jubilation. And when the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that Mukunda was so patiently waiting to meet him after millions of years, he immediately asked him to return." There is a statement about this punishment of Mukunda in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhyakanda, 10th chapter. But because the point is that he'll be able to see Lord Chaitanya again, so he's very happy. Right? So it's not that, okay, he's being punished, but at this point, after many millions of years, he can see him. They thought, great, okay, so we'll wait for a few million years and then we can see him again. Yes?
This Kamalakanta Bishwa, he was favored by the Lord in what way?
That he's being, that the Lord is giving personal attention to him. So he's personally arranging his punishment. Just like he did with Mukunda and Advaitacharya. Because otherwise, you see, others are punishing us. He's not taking part personally like that. Right? Because it's an interaction. Because the punishment is for the correction of the devotee, and the Lord is personally doing that. So then it's something. Advaitacharya concluded, a similar punishment was awarded to Mother Sachidevi, who could be more fortunate than she to receive such a punishment. Srila Prabhupada. Mother Sachidevi was similarly punished as mentioned in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Kanda chapter 22. Mother Sachidevi, apparently showing her feminine nature, accused Advaita Prabhu of encouraging her son to become a sannyasi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, taking this accusation as offense, asked Sachidevi to touch the lotus feet of Advaitacharya to mitigate the offense she had supposedly committed. 1:12:43-45. Right, so she's acting as the mother. Why you're telling my son to take, you know, encouraging him in this way? And so then saying this, then Lord Chaitanya got upset. So he says, "No, you have to offer your respects to Advaitacharya." And so in this, you know, they have these nice interactions, right?
It's interesting that Srila Prabhupada is very positive about philosophical statements, but in this purport he's saying two times supposedly, then something similar. Apparently,
yeah, supposedly committed, or apparently, yeah.
When there is a rustic thing.
Yeah, because there's no offense. It's just part of the pastimes, but The point is that it still has that aspect. You have someone senior, how you deal, and everything like this. So, you know, it's because of her attachment to the Lord, therefore. After pacifying Kamalakanta Vishwasa in this way, Sri Advaita Acharya Prabhu went to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Advaitacharya told Lord Chaitanya, "I cannot understand your transcendental pastimes. You have shown more favor to Kamalakanta than you generally show to me. The favor you have shown Kamalakanta is so great that even to me, you have never shown such favor." Right? He chastised him, but never told him, "You can't come in my company." "What offense have I committed at your lotus feet so as not to be shown such favor?" Right? It means you're giving attention to him. Why not me? Srila Prabhupada. This is a reference to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's former punishment of Advaitacharya. When Advaitacharya was reading Yoga Vashishta, Lord Chaitanya beat him, but he never told him not to come into his presence. But Kamalakanta was punished with the order never to come into the Lord's presence. Therefore, Sri Advaitacharya Prabhu wanted to impress upon Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he had shown more favor to Kamalakanta Vishwasa, because he had prohibited Kamalakanta from seeing him, whereas he had not done so to Advaitacharya. Therefore, the favor shown Kamalakanta Vishwasa was greater than that shown Advaitacharya. Are we all cool with this, or we're all thinking this is kind of weird?
Yes.
Why is it strange?
Not to come to his presence.
This is the whole thing, is that we can make a fine line between why it's said, means all the four kinds of Vaishnav liberation, let's say the Brajbasis have, but they have no interest in them. Why? Right? So what is the point of liberation? What is liberation doing that makes it stand out as a free of suffering, right? So, but when we talk about that we're going to come in, we're going to develop love for Krishna, we're going to go to Krishna, that the aspect is about prema. So it's about the relationship. So Madhvacharya is making the point, real liberation is attaining service to the Lord in a personal relationship. Right? So that means that's beyond liberation. So liberation is just we're not in the bad place here, we're in Krishna's place. We're not in funny association here, we're in Krishna's association. We don't have all the funky bodies here, we have a transcendental one like the Lord, or we don't have lack of facility, we have all the facilities the Lord has. Right? Because you're working on as it says, the devotee then is on that same platform as the Lord. He doesn't have the volume that the Lord has, but he's acting on that same position. Right? So therefore, they're getting the benefit of all these, right? But in relationship to the Lord. But we see is that there's the aspect of they're appreciating that they're not on this, they're on the spiritual platform, and therefore they can associate with the Lord, right? Does that make sense? So it has that aspect of thinking rather than just the natural relationship. Right? Formal relationships, you think about everything, what should be this and that. The natural relationship just flows. Right? So, in here, this is the personal relationships between the Lord and his associates, and just the natural, you know, ebb and flow of the various moods and tastes and emotions that are there. But it's all about its connection with the Lord. That's what gives the taste. So, we're used to the thing is that taste is we would consider it to be a pious thing. You know, a good thing, a nice thing, rather than taste is the actual interaction with the Lord. Because
can we say that it's not about the external things, it's just the interaction? And it doesn't really matter what he says exactly?
No, you have to know why he's saying it, what's going on. You know, it's just like, let's say something is happening. You know, husband does something and the wife says, you know, don't talk to me anymore. Does that mean she doesn't want to talk to him? Yeah, she wants to talk to him, but she wants him to act in a particular way. You understand? So all these things are going on in close relationships. But it's just a matter of because of the relationship. But we're tending to look at it, a devotional service means nothing goes wrong. But that's liberation. So that's the whole point, is that, you know, we see these aspects just as we're expecting it through the first six cantos of Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita, the first six cantos of Bhagavatam. You know, it's how we expect it. But then we see with the seventh, with Prahlad Maharaj, basically it is, but he's pointing out it's the pure devotional service. So he's going through difficult situations, but somehow or another, you know, it all works out and everything and all that. So then, you know, that's going nice, and then we see going ninth and ten, up to eighth and ninth canto, then it starts showing things that aren't very standard. You know, they're exceptions, but the point is they're bringing out the aspect of it's about Krishna. It's about devotion to Krishna. The secondary aspects have their value in as much as they support that relationship with Krishna. So then we see the tenth canto, the devotees, and you see that they're going and there's anxieties and this and that, but, you know, Prabhupada explains it nicely and we're adjusted with it. But so it's the same kind of thing here, is now you're getting down to the fine points, because you don't see all the conversations. Like, we're seeing, okay, Aristasura comes into Vrindavan. Right? And we're seeing the reactions of devotees, they're distressed or this or that, or, you know, some things like that. The coward boys are, yeah, you know, and, you know, and that, and the gopis are thinking this, and the others that. But you're just getting it's generic, right? Because we don't see that it's specifically mentioned, other than, you know, Mother Jashoda and Nanda Baba, how they're reacting. Sometimes the cowherd boys. But with the gopis, it's generic, or if it's mentioned, their names aren't mentioned, who they are, and things like that. So, you know, it still stays very general, and so we can still put it into that category. But Chaitanya Charitamrita, now you're seeing what's the devotees, what they're saying, their interaction and all that. That's why it's considered higher.
So we come to know the personal world.
Yes, you come to see the personal thing like that, because the point is that, you know, we're used to, okay, I do something wrong, and the Lord's just kind and merciful, you know, or we do something right, and he's so kind to us. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's all about getting the mercy. But here, Dvaitacharya is pointing out the mercy is the personal interaction. like that. Because Lord Chaitanya could have just ignored him and it would have done the same thing. But then, but here he's specifically told Govinda, tell him, you know, don't let him come into my presence. So that means he's personally dealing with it. So Dwaitacharya is pointing out is you're making this whole arrangement for me. You didn't. You just got upset. You beat me, and that was it. But here you've made this. He can't come, and you've told them, and it's official. And is that work any better?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of that's what's in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So in the Bhagavat, then you're going to get the pastimes going through and all that. We may appreciate, may not. That's the importance of the Chaitanya Charitamrita because the explanations are there. We'll see it in the context of our applying it. Right. Yes, we're good.
Yeah. Maharaj, these particular pastimes about the Lord chastising the devotees is in the Prakat Leela.
It's in the Prakat Leela.
Is it also in the Aprakat?
Saying these pastimes are in the Prakat Leela, so therefore are they in the Aprakat? So it's the same point that we made. Why is that, why is there a consideration? Unless it's the point of liberation.
Because in Prakat Leela, whatever happens is for the application so that we can learn and we can...
In Prakat Leela, it's just for application for us. So the Lord and His devotees aren't having their natural interactions. We're seeing that we're being inspired. So Krishna just did the Rasa dance just for us. But otherwise in Goloka, they just all sit around and play, you know, bridge or something. Like that. You know, that's what the gopi... You know, I mean, that's what the elder gopis like that. They also, you know, like that. Sometimes they play bingo. Like that. The young gopis, I'm not exactly sure what they do.
Frisbee.
Huh?
Frisbee.
Okay, yeah. Let's say so. Frisbee. His pastimes are going on. And we get to see some of them. We don't see all the detail because they're doing these things eternally. So they come and present to us aspects of their eternal pastimes that we may appreciate. But the point is, this is their pastimes. This is what they do. That makes sense. So now you're having doubts because you're not going to get liberation by going back to Goloka, and so then you wonder if it's
worth it.
If it's worth the effort. That makes sense. The point is the intensity of the relationship. The intensity of the relationship is very, very full here, so therefore everybody's very happy. It's about the interaction. It's just like this. Okay. Try another one. Okay. The girl says yes. Generally that means yes. We're not getting into the finer points of that. Not in this conversation. We're giving a different example. You know. Yeah. Like you say, we're not talking Paris here. Right? So, and when she says no, right, that means maybe. Right? But if she gives no response, just nothing, that's a no. Right?
He knows.
Like I said, Paris. So they have, how you say? They have a thousand ways to say no, but only a few of them mean yes, so. You know, it's probably an aphorism in French, right? Yes? So the whole point is he's chastised. So that means the relationship is alive. Because if there's no relationship, why would you even bother?
Mm. Got it. Yeah? Yes, sir. Yeah. Kumar, Chaitanya Charitamrita is only about the intensity of the relationship.
Yes, that's what we're getting to see. That's why we're seeing it down. And then how in... Because the point is in what we're doing, we're also going to see is sometimes things are going nice, sometimes they're not.
Yes.
And much of the time it'll be back to back.
Yes.
It'll be going very nice, and it'll go the other way, and then like
yes.
this.
Yes.
You understand? Just one after the other. You know, if it's going nice, we're thinking, oh, this is good, and then it'll go the other way. And then, you know, so the whole point is it's about seeing everything in context of the Lord. Then it becomes good. Right? But otherwise, then what happens is we'll just take it only if it's pious. Yes. Then that's good, because that's the reason that people turn to religion. Right? Arta artarti jigyasu. Right? Like that. So that's there. But also the you could say is the jnani, the aspect is of, you know, it's pious, it's good, you're grateful, you know, the liberation aspect. Like that. So that's why all these will be given up at one point. The jnani, at least then the point is he's seeing it in the context of the Lord. He knows the Lord. He's seeing it in that context. So if he doesn't know about the Lord, he's inquiring. Generally, that means a jigyasu. Mm-hmm. You know, there's an interest. What is spiritual life? You know, I'm looking, you know, so what is it? And that's a jigyasu. Mm-hmm. We'll tend to define that as the jnani. You know? But actually, that's a jigyasu, because jigyasu understands the Lord in the relationship and is grateful and is trying to move forward in that relationship. But it's based on this point of just, you know, he's certain the Lord is taking care and that kind of aspect. So it still has it doesn't have the point of that full surrender, right? That will come up. That's the Madhyama. That's why then you saw. They're classifying the Madhyama more closer to the Bhava Bhakta than to the neophyte. Does that make sense? Because the Anartha Nivriti is the gap. That means there's no gap between, Asakti and Bhava. Right? It's just the natural next step. But you have Bhajana Kriya, but then you have Anishta Bhakti, then Nishta. So removing all the Anarthas, then that's you know, that's a big. So there's actually more difference between the neophyte and the Madhyama than between the Madhyama and the Uttama. So.
Therefore, mind the gap.
Mind the gap, yes. Mind the gap. So all those anarthas, you know, and in other words, they should fall in the gap. Don't fall in with them. Sorry?
We can go on in those.
Yes, yes. In other words, get on the train, let the anarthas fall in the gap. Right? So better? No?
Yes,
okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Therefore, the favor shown Kamala Kanta Vishwasu is greater than that shown Advaitacharya. Hearing this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu laughed with satisfaction and immediately called Kamalakanta Vishwasa. Right, because he has the Supreme Lord, you know, arguing his case. But he did it in such a nice way. It's also very personal. It's not a matter of justice. It's a matter of personal relationship. Hey, you know, I thought we were close, now you're closer with him than me. You know, is that, he's my servant. You're closer with my servant than with me, you know, like that kind of thing. Advaitacharya then said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Why have you called back this man and allowed him to see you? He has cheated me in two ways." So now he got more chastisement, right? And then comes back to Advaitacharya. So this must be one of the ways. Now here. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, his mind was satisfied. Only they could understand each other's minds, right? So then they're... Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Kamalakanta, "You are a Baulya, one who does not know things as they are. Why do you act in this way? Why do you invade the privacy of Advaitacharya and damage his religious principles?" You know, because he's the Supreme Lord. He's doing his own pastimes, right? Kamalakanta Vishwasa, out of his ignorance, asked the king of Jagannath Puri, Maharaj Prataparudra, to liquidate the 300 rupee debt of Advaitacharya. But at the same time, he established Advaitacharya as an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is contradictory. An incarnation of the Supreme Godhead cannot be indebted to anyone in this material world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is never satisfied by such a contradiction, which is technically called rasa bhas, or overlapping of one humor, rasa, with another. Right? So this isn't contradictions that are favorable to rasa. These are against. This is the same type of idea as the contradiction that Narayana is poverty-stricken, Daridra Narayana. 1:12:50. Lord Chaitanya continued. Ah, good. They came in. Because sometimes it wasn't, you couldn't tell it was talking. Like that. They have come. Or they have arrived. Lord Chaitanya continued, Advaitacharya, my spiritual master, should never accept charity from rich men or kings. Because also, you have the aspect of the Brahmins. It was not their first option to get money from kings if they're short money. The first option is to increase the variety of occupations you're doing. You know what I'm saying? Like that. Or if that doesn't work, then then they can go and do Kshatriya things, Vaishya things like this. But if they want to stay within the Brahminical occupations, then they can go to kings. But it's considered a lower level. It's not considered a standard thing. It's not considered good. Because one, then you're begging from the kings and all that, which is not good, so you're not independent because you never know if there's strings attached or not. And two, as any money from the king always carries some, bit of karma with it. Since they're taking on 1/6 of the country's karma, taking money from them means they give you a portion of that. Like that. So it's always, I'm saying you beg from a man from his house, you only get something of his karma. But you beg from the king, you get everybody's karma. Like that. So therefore it's not considered ideal. Advaitacharya, my spiritual master, should never accept charity from rich men or kings, because if a spiritual master accepts money or grains from such materialists, his mind becomes polluted. Right? Because of that material thing. That's why they generally beg only from Brahmins. Srila Prabhupada. It is very risky to accept money or food from materialistic persons, for such acceptance pollutes the mind of the charity's recipient. According to the Vedic system, one should give charity to sannyasis and brahmanas, because one who thus gives charity becomes free from sinful activities. Right? You give in charity because it frees you. They have to be careful of that because it carries that. Mm-hmm. Formerly, therefore, brahmanas would not accept charity from a person unless he were very pious. Right? So he's still getting the bad karma but he's a pious person, so the karma is less. So it's not, they're not indiscriminately just taking money from anywhere. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this instruction for all spiritual masters. Materialistic persons who are not inclined to give up their sinful activities, like illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating, sometimes want to become our disciples. But unlike professional spiritual masters who accept disciples regardless of their condition, Vaishnavas do not accept such cheap disciples. One must at least agree to abide by the rules and regulations for a disciple before a Vaishnavacharya can accept him, right? So unless that rich person or influence is willing to follow the regulations like the devotee, then they're not accepted, right? So he says at least they're following the rules and regulations, right? Like that. So then if that's the four regulative principles, this and chanting, then they're accepted. Not because they're rich or influential. But you'll find many gurus, they'll accept them because they're that position, just to get disciples, get the facilities. So Vaishnavas don't do that. In fact, the Vaishnavas should not even accept charity or food from persons who do not follow the rules and regulations of the Vaishnava principles. So you don't want to get, like Prabhupada was, I think it was in Kenya or Mombasa, that he was there. And some very rich, there's one really rich family there. I think that, I'm not sure, but I remember seeing the son. I'm not sure if they're devotees, but I think the rest of the family is not. But their family, that what they do is they manufacture alcohol, hard liquor. I'm not sure if they do beer also, but they do hard liquor, So that's, it's sinful. So the money that they will get will have that aspect. So any money taken from them, so Prabhupada got money from them, and he just gave it to the deities. Because generally people, devotees give money and he'll put it into an account that he'll use for, projects in ISKCON and this and that like that, or, different things he'll use it for. But this money he didn't. He just directly put it into the hundi. He didn't even give it to someone. He just stuck it in the, like that. Because it'll carry all that karma. So it's given to the deities, so now you, for the deities, then they use it for the deities, it's purified. But he wouldn't personally use it, right? Because Krishna doesn't get any karma. Yes?
Since you're one devotee, your father has farm, and he usually gets money by killing cows. And once he gave a big amount of money, and she wanted to donate it for building temple for Krishna. But our temple president rejected the money because of from this activity. Is it correct?
The point is Lakshmi belongs to Krishna, so you have that aspect. So they could find some way to engage it. You know what I'm saying? Because then you're engaging the person. Like that. But it's very important no one personally uses it. Does that make sense? Because otherwise we're going to go by that, who's not sinful. Like we go out and do book distribution, we're happy to take their money. Like that, you know, who out there, you know, is there a rule we only distribute books to those who follow the four good principles? You know, we go up and start to do the whole thing on the book, and when they're interested, do you, you know, do you follow anything? Oh, no, so, oh, sorry, I can't. Sorry. You know what I'm saying? But it doesn't mean that we're just, that we target, it means the person's come forward themselves. We may not go and ask, but whatever it is, they're doing some service. Because otherwise, then we have to be careful we don't project our own ideas of morality onto there. That morality is the most. So in other words, if it's not moral, it's not good. Yeah, it's not good money, it's bad money. But that means it can only be used for the deities.
When she complained to me, I advised her to donate this money to Gashara for buying cows, supporting cows.
Yeah, that's also a good way to do it. If it's come from that, then use it in the Gashara for the cows. I don't think cows. I've never read that the cows get karma. So, huh? Yeah, yeah. No, they don't. Yeah. So she gave it there. Yeah, yeah. So that works nice. Mm-hmm. I mean, just because of the nature of it. But
next time, president can take this money.
Sorry.
Next time, president can take this money for building temple.
Can or use it for the cows? Why not? Cows need money. And then money that the temple is giving for the cows, they can use that for the temple. Point is that, you know, then, yeah, it's doing something.
Once I had been to ISKCON Surat, and there were deities, Raja Damodu. They had stacks of money in the lotus feet of Damodu. When I asked someone, like, what is this? Why they displayed such a lot of amount of money? No, this is illegal. That is why you offered it to Damodar directly.
And then you give it back.
The person.
Okay. Yes. Yes. But I'm just saying, what's legal in this world?
Really, really illegal.
Yeah. Oh, I see. There's illegal and really illegal.
It's like a casino and. Stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Get a lot of cash.
Yeah, but in any case, the point is, yeah. You know, so that these aren't loopholes. We have to be careful. It's a matter of understanding how it's working. What's the attitude? Not that, oh, here's some trick. So it's, yeah. Yes.
It's an interesting story. Srila Prabhupada once, due to some mistake, bank transferred $10,000 to his bank account, extra.
Right.
And then everybody was happy. But the bank, they demanded the money back. And somehow Srila Prabhupada wasn't inclined to do that. Then they quoted Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam.
The bank.
They studied the book and they quoted, but Prabhupada ignored them. He never gave that back.
Yeah, because it's for Krishna. Because it all belongs to Krishna, so that's the whole thing, is that we're not the ones to judge. But we can, you know, see where it goes and this and that. Means it can be used for someone else or for dependents, but the person who it's given to can use it.
But for dependents, it's okay. It
is, but you can't be getting benefit. You can't say, oh, well, I'll use it for feeding the dependents, but then you eat for that food also.
No.
Yeah, but the point is it's purified because you get the karma.
Oops.
You understand? So the dependent doesn't get the karma. Like, let's say it goes and you use it for, you know, clothes or medicine for the children. They don't get any reaction. You get, because it's whatever's the bad reaction you get. That's why I'm saying these ones that are very set, you don't use like that. It's just given for the deities, or in this case for the cows, like that. That's a very nice thing. Mm-hmm. You know, for prasad distribution, or you know, these kind of things. Does that make sense?
If you will give for prasad distribution devotee who will eat this prasad, they will not give karma.
No, because it's been given. It's a generic thing, and that, you know, you're offering to Krishna and all that. Don't take it too far. You know, don't take it. Well, you know, I ate prasad, my hands are dirty, and then I touch the floor, and then the floor is touching the walls, and the walls are touching this, and you know, the whole planet's, you know, be like that, and it's not Chakrabhu, so that means the whole Bhumandala, and then, you know, don't do that. So that goes out, and then there's the local mountains, and then the wheel of the sun's chariot is on the local mountains, yeah. And then that goes back, and the sun is impure.
Distributes the impurity.
Yes. Yes, so don't, avoid that one. In fact, a Vaishnava should not even accept charity or food from persons who do not follow the rules and regulations of the Vaishnava principles. Right? So if they do, then those kind of, they just give it away. Like that. They won't keep it. Or, yeah. So that means this, the Vaishnava, he doesn't accept for himself. Like the Lord Chaitanya continued, when one's mind is polluted, it's very difficult to remember Krishna. And when remembrance of Lord Krishna is hampered, one's life is unproductive. Srila Prabhupada. A devotee should always be alert, keeping his mind in a sanguine state, so that he can always remember Lord Sri Krishna. The Shastras state, smarta vyas satatam Vishnu. In devotional life, one should always remember Lord Vishnu. Srila Sukadeva Goswami also advised Maharaj Parikit, smarta vyo nityasha. In the second canto, first chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami advised Parikit Maharaj, O descendant of Bharata, one who desires to be free from all miseries must hear about, glorify, and also remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul, the Controller and Savior from all miseries. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.15. This is the summary of all the activities of a Vaishnava. And the same instruction is repeated here. Krishna Smriti Vinu Hoy Nishvala Jivan. Srila Rupa Goswami states that in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Avyarta Kalatvam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila 23:18-19. A Vaishnava must be very alert not to waste even a second of his valuable time, lifetime. Right? So then not thinking of Krishna is a waste of that lifetime. This is a symptom of a Vaishnava. But association with pounds and shillings men, or Vishayis, materialists who are simply interested in sense gratification, pollutes one's mind and hampers such continuous remembrance of Lord Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore advised Asat Sangha Tyaga, a Vaishnav Achar. A Vaishnav should behave in such a way as to never associate with non-devotees or materialists. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila 22:87. One can avoid such association simply by always remembering Krishna within his heart. Right, so if you're always remembering Krishna, then wherever you are, whoever you're with, you're remembering about Krishna. So then if you can talk to them about Krishna or engage them, you do. And if not, then you just move through the world, you know, as they're just moving by also. 1:12:52-56. Lord Chaitanya continued. Thus, one becomes unpopular in the eyes of the people in general, for this damages his religiosity and fame. A Vaishnava, especially one who acts as the spiritual master, must not act in such a way. One should always be conscious of this fact. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this instruction to Kamalakanta, all present considered it to be meant for everyone. Thus, Advaitacharya was greatly pleased. Right? So, through, Kamalakanta Vishvasa, then all the devotees were instructed. Right? So Dvaitacharya was pleased because of that benefit there and the benefit how everyone got. Only Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand the intentions of Dvaitacharya, and Dvaitacharya appreciated the grave instructions of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this statement, there are many confidential considerations. I do not write of them all, fearing an unnecessary increase in the volume of the work. In other words, he could write so much on these. The fifth branch of Dvaitacharya was Sri Yadunandan Acharya. Right? So this was Kamalakanta Vishvasa, right? So the fifth branch of Dvaitacharya was Sri Yadunandan Acharya, who had so many branches and sub-branches that it is impossible to write of them. Srila Prabhupada. Yadunandan Acharya was the official initiator spiritual master of Raghunath Das Goswami. In other words, when Raghunath Das Goswami was a householder, Yadunandan Acharya initiated him at home. Later, Raghunath Das Goswami took shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri. So he's his initiating spiritual master, but Lord Chaitanya is his instructing spiritual master. Sri Yadunandan Acharya was a student of Vasudev Dutta, and he received all his mercy. Therefore, he could accept Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet from all angles of vision as the supreme shelter. Yeah, so Vasudev Dutta, he's the one who is very merciful. Right? He wanted to take all the sins of everyone in the universe so they could all go back to Godhead. Right? So then, you know, very nice line. Srila Prabhupada. The Gauranga Deepika 140 describes that Vasudev Dutta was formerly Madhuvrata, a singer in Vrindavan. 112.58. Bhagavad Acharya, Vishnudas Acharya, Chakrapani Acharya, and Ananta Acharya were the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th branches of Advaita Acharya. Srila Prabhupada. In his Anubhashya, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami, Prabhupada, says that Bhagavad Acharya was formerly among the followers of Dvaita Acharya, but was later counted among the followers of Garadhar Prabhu, or Garadhar Pandit. In the 6th verse of Shanka Nirnayamrita, a book written by Yadunandana Das, states that Bhagavad Acharya compiled a famous book of the name Prema Tarangini. According to the Gauranga Deepika 195, Bhagavad Acharya formerly lived in Vrindavan as Svetamanjari. Vishnudas Acharya was present during the Kateri Mahotsava. He went there with Achyutananda, as stated in the Bhakti Ratnakar, 10th Taranga. Ananta Acharya was one of the 8 principal gopis. His former name was Sudevi. Okay. Although he was among Advaitacharya's followers, he later became an important devotee of Garadhar Goswami. Is that we're good or no? Means that you're going to have that connection there, so you have that line, but the instruction and what you do and the mood and all that then is gained from the others that you're with. Right? So you can found it there. So then because Advaitacharya then will be, you can say, be the lord of the Sandini potency. So then Chitra and all that, I mean, or this is Sudevi. Then there'll be some connection with that aspect. Maybe they're a little bit more on the right side. You know what I'm saying? It means they're in the group, they're left, but she may be the right of left. You know, just like Lalita is left of left.
Yeah.
And Vishaka will be right of left.
Yes.
And then Radharani's in the middle, so the other gopis will also be this way or that way. So maybe they're more right. And so it takes on that flavor a little bit more, so it has that foundation. But at the same time is that they're, you know, taking shelter of Garadhar. Right? Because they're going to have their place, they're born in their families, they're going to get married, and then they're going to be part of Radharani's group. No? Yeah, so it's just their situation may be like that, but where they're actually serving, that's another thing. Does that make sense? Because when you're dealing up in this level, when you get down farther, then it's more clear this one's this, that one's that. But when you're getting up to Vrindavan, since it's the origin of all the other realms, then you're going to have these kind of aspects like that. So, yes, so you're going to have that come down. So it's not this, this how it does, because they're all parts of Radharani, and so how this comes down and goes down. So that means then. Does that make some sense? Or?
Yes.
Because Sita Takarani, she'll be Rama Devi. Right? So that means then you're expanding from, you know, Sankarshan, Mahasankarshan, from Mahanarayan, from Balaram, and then back, you know, there. So that means the Shaktis will be coming down like that. So there'll be something that it expands out, it'll be down there. But they're actually up on this side. Does that make sense? So where we said there's the yoga people, so they're standing around. You know, does that make sense? Because otherwise, then depending on how you do it, how you're laying out the yog pit, then she'll be, because what is it? Ranga Devi, Su Devi, right? They're sisters.
Yeah.
So Su Devi, if Lalita is the first one, that puts Su Devi is the last one.
Yeah.
That puts her in Shiva's corner. The northeast. Does that make sense? Because if you start there, then
start
it goes
from
over.
East?
You start from east, then next to that, then south, and next to that. It always goes that. Sometimes they start Lalita in the north, and then Vishakha comes into that position. Because she also has that aspect. But in this one, if you're starting Lalita in the east, then you'll end up, because Rupa Goswami and his Archan Padati, you know, for home worship and that, then it starts like that. And so she'll be there. And so that means that's connection there. That means that aspect of that Shiva's corner. So it means that all those energies come down from there. So the situation is there, but she's serving Radharani. Does that make sense? You know,
yeah.
So then that would put Vishakha in the fire corner, but then she's serving Radharani. So you have that thing of Agni, or then Lalita Vishakha, Champaka Lata, she'll be in what do you call it? Yamaraj. You know, Tunga Vidya, then Chitra. Yeah, then, you know, go like this. Does that make sense? So that's how our yog pit is. Others, you see, the arrangement's different. So who's in what position, because where they are in the chain, just like the Nimbarkas, they where we put Lalita Vishakha, they put Vrinda and Sukadev Goswami.
Yeah.
You know, like that. So then that'll be those energies there. So Sukadev will have a connection with Vishakha. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, and then Vrinda will have some connection with, you know, so like this, then they're going on. But within, in ours, there may be, because where we're taking it, we're talking that you have Govinda, and then you have some Vandabhi Day and Prayojana within Govinda or within Gopinath.
Yeah.
You know, so within Gopinath, you have these three. So we're situated in Govinda of Gopinath.
Yes.
Right? But some will be more on the Gopinath of Gopinath and Madan Mohan of Gopinath. So it's just there are these fine points. Does this mean anything? Or you catch it?
Yeah.
Anyone else catches it? One of those that you don't catch it, don't worry about it.
We catch the principle.
Huh? The principle, okay. Very good. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that.
You know, in other words, it's going by the personality, by the qualities, by the nature, by the basis of how their service works. It's not a matter of logic. Does that make sense? Because you're taking one quality, just like Gadadhar Das is the effulgence of Radharani.
Yes.
But of Radharani serving Lord Chaitanya. So taking that more kind of background position. Does that make sense? Yeah.
I was thinking that we better function when positions are fixed, and then when they start shifting, then it kind of throws us out.
But that's why you have to see the lines, how they're working, rather than the position is what's the whole thing. We have to remember those positions are coming from them. They are those positions, not they're in the position.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? You know,
yeah.
So it's not that there's a position. It's just like if we're looking at, that's the standard thing. Okay, you have the yog pit, you know, and then you're putting Krishna there and Radharani there. But if you're looking at the mechanics, you could stick, you know, Lakshmi Narayan there, or Krishna and Rukmini there, or things like that. You understand?
Yeah.
But the point is the origin is Radha and Krishna. So any of these others, they're expanding from them. So then Krishna in Dwarka with Rukmini, or Sita and Ram, or Lakshmi and Narayan, they're expanding from them, but they're slightly different moods. So which aspect of moods they'll be taking? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So they'll be those kind of things. Does that make sense? Like Sita, then it's Maryada. So it'll be, you know, generally you could say very far right. You know? But you see is that Lakshmi is that, you know, she'll be in the middle, but as general, she's always going to be that, has that aspect of right. But then within the right, she might take that left aspect, like in Haripanchami.
Yeah.
But in Dwarka, in Vaikuntha, you wouldn't see it. But in Dwarka, you could see it. But as you can see, it's a rare occurrence. But what does it give rise to? Then because Dwarka is about opulence, then Krishna can show his opulence. You know, so then they dress up Jagannath most opulently. And then because, okay, he's looking okay, so he can come in. So, you know, he's made the effort. He's showing off. Right. So that's the thing they'll bring up. That's why in all these, that's why it mentions in the Gaur Ganadesh Deepika that if you're going to, he's making the point that these are the facts. If you don't understand them, don't read the book. It's not a matter that it's up for discussion. He's just saying this is the way it is. He's just pointing out who's who. Right, because generally in Radha Krishna Ganadesh Deepika, we're not going to generally have much of a problem because they're just saying who's who. But Gaur Ganadesh Deepika, they're saying who in Vrindavan is who in Chaitanya Leela. Or even they're not in Vrindavan, they're in Dwarka, they're in Ayodhya, they're, you know, wherever they are.
Yeah.
Where they are. And so he's pointing out is that this is the way it is. You can't doubt it. You cannot understand it, but you can't doubt it and think it's up for discussion. In the way of logic. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like that. So that's what the thing of those books. It's just, it's there, you appreciate it, it's fine. If you don't, better not read it. You know, it's just like, you know, saying Trump is president. It's the way it is. You can't argue it. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's just, that's the fact. So it's just saying that's the way it is. You may like it, you may not like it, it doesn't make sense, because the whole point is depending upon how you're arranging the yog pit, you'll put it in a particular order. So because much of the time you see, you start Lalita from the north. So she's in the north, and then you see, then Vishaka will be in the northeast.
Yeah.
But then when he's doing the puja, Lalita's in the east, that puts Vishaka in the fire court. Does that make sense? But at the same time, it doesn't not work. I mean, it works fine because Jamuna is warm, Ganga's cold. Does that make sense? And she is the, you know, so does that make sense? At the same time as that has the aspect that she's Viraja. So that's the separation between the two. So it has that aspect of the Shiva. But at the same time as, you see, so that's the whole point, is how the acharyas are giving it, these all work. It's just a matter of which aspect you're taking. Since everything's coming out of these eight, which means everything's coming out of Radharani, which means everything's coming out of Krishna. And then from there it goes. So there may be the main ones that's mentioned, but at the same time you see these other aspects are there. You know what I'm saying? Like saying Vishakha is Arjuna. Right? Not Vishakha. Ramananda Raya is Arjuna. Because then I think Bhavananda Raya has five sons.
Yeah.
And so then they're the five Pandavas. Because the thing is he's there with Narayan. So Nara Narayan, they're one deity. So the Lord and the living entity. Right? So that means it has to count that whole range. And so the range means if you're going to count here, all these living entities, you have to count that aspect of Shiva. Right? Because you're dealing with Mahavishnu. And so they're in this material world because of that aspect of the mundane consciousness, the polluted consciousness. So that aspect of Shiva, that polluted, it's there in Balaram, but it's unmanifest. You only see it with Mahanarayan, then it's there, because then from his line, then Sankarshan, it comes down into the Purusha avatars, and then the other way it goes through Dwarka and out through Vaikuntha. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know. And so then that aspect is there, because otherwise then Yoga Maya, then she is that aspect of the Sandini, of the existence and the mood and all those kind of things like that, because if the mood's devotional, it's the spiritual world. The mood's not, it's the material world. And depending on the mood, if it's sweetness or opulence, it'll be Vrindavan, it'll be Dwarka, it'll be Vaikuntha. So that's Yoga Maya. Arjuna marries Subhadra. How can he do that unless there's some kind of attitude and some principle that's coming from Shiva? Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is you have all these things. So when you understand all these, then it goes together. It's very nice. And so if it makes sense, then great. And if not, then don't worry about it. So there'll be much of the times the ones that are very general take it, but you see sometimes these other aspects are there. That's why it says, you know, in some say this, in some opinions it's like this. It just depends on which aspect they're bringing out more. So you can bring these out, then it'll take on these flavors, because all these flavors are coming from these different personalities. So you get that one, it may be combinations of these different lines. Because it's not that these energies don't meet. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's just a matter of then, you know, what's in between? You know, Vishakha and Champaka Lata, right? So then what's in between that? What's a little bit more towards Champaka Lata? What's a little bit more towards, what do you call it? The Vishakha. At the same time, it's not that, you know, it's like you have a, I guess if you want to have fun, you know, a little bit about astrology or astronomy.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have a planet, and then it has its aspects.
Yeah.
You know, so it's all, you know, directly across, you know, 180 degrees, and then there's, you know, 60 degrees or 30 degrees or different planets that has those. So all those planets go into those positions also. So that would mean then what that is, and from Lalita, let's say whatever it is, whatever is the ones for that position, then there'll be the 180, the this, the that. So you have all these kind of combinations that you get, that these match. And that's just the first look at it. Then you have go down, then you have the yogas, you have this, so you have to be able to do five layers. Then you're considered, then you can be an astrologer. Because if you just can look at the Rashi, the first one, and then make everything off of that, then much of the time you're wrong, because you'll say, oh, look at this, this is bad. You know, just like, let's say, no, yeah, I can't say. But you just have these things that they're there. And from that point, for the first level, it's bad. But if you look at it, and then the aspects and this and that, you find out it's some special yoga, and it's super good. You know, so in any other kind of thing, it wouldn't be. But in this particular combination, then it is. So that's how all these work. Because the same thing, you're putting the yog pit, you're putting the vastu, you're putting the chakra of the what do you call it? you know, for the star, the planets and all that, you know, all the nakshatras and everything. So all that's working off the same thing. Krishna is the center and his energies are all around. And then how they interact, what they do. And all that's the mechanical. Then you see it's based on their personalities. That's why they're there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So like that, it gets quite complicated. And so that's the whole point. If it's not complicated, then how is it unlimited? You know, how does it have the unlimited manifestation and all those things like that? Right? Because you're going to have the house, you're going to have the zodiac sign, which is the fixed, you're going to have the nakshatras, which are fixed, but then the planets, where they're situated, and where the houses are, that's going to then create so much more variety. So then if you have a certain zodiac sign, you're going to have a particular nakshatra. So those certain things are fixed, but certain things are movable. So like that, then you get. Does that make sense? You know, so that means then in a particular pastime, a particular devotee has a particular service that stands out, that they're going to be the one that is unique in them. Like each living entity has a uniqueness. So it'll have some point in the pastime that uniqueness is there. That's their special thing. But it's only because of being the energies and the particular combinations that brings out that particular aspect. Yeah? No problem?
No.
No? Yeah? Okay. 1:12:59:65. Nandini, Kamadeva, Chaitanya Das, Durlabha Vishvasa and Vanamali Dasa were the 10th, 11, 12, 13, and 14 branches of Sri Advaitacharya. Jagannath Kara, Bhavanath Kara, Hridayananda Sena, and Bolanath Das were the 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th branches of Advaitacharya. Yadava Das, Vijaya Das, Janardana Das, Ananta Das, Kanu Pandit, and Narayana Das were the 19th, 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, and 24th branches of Advaitacharya. Srivatsa Pandit, Haridas Brahmachari, Purushottama Brahmachari, and Krishna Das were the 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th branches of Advaitacharya. Purushottam Pandit, Raghunath, Vanamali, Kavichandra, and Vaidyanath were the 29th, 30th, 31st, and 32nd branches of Advaitacharya. Lokanath Pandit, Murari Pandit, Sri Hari Chandra, and Madhava Pandit were the 33rd, 34th, 35th, and 36th branches of Advaitacharya. Vijaya Pandit and Sriram Pandit were two important branches of Advaitacharya. There are innumerable branches, but I am unable to mention them all. It's interesting how the different styles all do. Sometimes he mentions the name, then mentions the number. Sometimes he'll say the name and the number. Because you have to remember, it's all written in verse, in poetry. So sometimes then you're doing one, then explanation of the other, then you can change each time, so it's like that. Then when you have just a run like this, you can do it all. Then it matches, the poetry works, because it's all exactly the same style. Does that make sense? You know, so then in this section it'll work like that, even though in other sections they'll change for the poetry. But here the poetry is, it's all the same. Srila Prabhupada, Vishvasa Pandit was an incarnation of Narad Muni, and thus Srivasa's younger brother, Sriram Pandit, is accepted as an incarnation of Parvata Muni, Narad Muni's most intimate friend. Okay, Vijaya Pandit, Sri Rama Pandit. So that's Parvata Muni.
He's sometimes called Ramai.
Ramai.
Sometimes.
Oh, actually, Ramai. Okay. 1:12:66. The Advaitacharya branch received the water supplied by the original gardener, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this way, the sub-branches were nourished, and their fruits and flowers grew luxuriantly. Srila Prabhupada. The branches of Advaitacharya nourished by the water, jala, supplied by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, are to be considered bona fide acharyas. As we have discussed herein before, the representatives of Advaitacharya later divided into two groups, the bona fide branches of the Acharya's disciplic succession, and the pretentious branches of Advaitacharya. Those who followed the principles of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu flourished, whereas the others, who are mentioned below in the 67th verse, dried up. 112:67-70. After the disappearance, because that would happen with Advaitacharya, right? Because he being that principle, you know, Mahavishnu and Sadashiva. Mm-hmm. So that'll be the point where the two come. You know, it means those who are on the spiritual side, those who are on the material side. Mm-hmm. You know, is that, yeah. Because you don't hear about this with other branches. You just hear about it with him. After the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, some of the branches, for unfortunate reasons, deviated from his path. Some branches did not accept the original trunk that vitalized and maintained the entire tree. When they thus became ungrateful, the original trunk was angry at them. Thus, Lord Chaitanya did not sprinkle upon them the water of his mercy, and they gradually withered and died. A person without Krishna consciousness is no better than dry wood or a dead body. He is understood to be dead while living. And after death, he is punishable by Yamaraj. So, therefore, I guess the common thing of the zombies like that, you know, because that means unless you're technically a devotee, you're a zombie. Right? Dead while living, right? Right? That makes sense.
That's why they're so popular.
Yes, that's why they're so popular. People can relate. Srila Prabhupada. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 3rd chapter, 29th verse, Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, tells his assistants what class of men they should bring before him. Here he states, quote, a person whose tongue never describes the qualities and holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose heart never throbs as he remembers Krishna and his lotus feet, and whose head never bows in obeisances to the Supreme Lord, must be brought before me for punishment. End quote. In other words, non-devotees are brought before Yamaraj for punishment, and thus material nature awards them various types of bodies. After death, which is Dehantara, a change of body, non-devotees are brought before Yamaraj for justice. By the judgment of Yamaraj, material nature gives them bodies suitable for the reactions of their past activities. This is the process of Dehantara, or transmigration, of the self from one body to another. Krishna-conscious devotees, however, are not subject to be judged by Yamaraj. For devotees, there is an open road, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. After giving up the body, chaktva deham. So it'd be the road, okay. Highway to Godhead, right? The devotee never again has to accept another material body. For in a spiritual body, he goes back home, back to Godhead. The punishments of Yamaraj are meant for persons who are not Krishna conscious. So devotees don't go before Yamaraj. Right? They remember Krishna, they go back to Godhead. If they don't, then Krishna arranges through his potencies, then where's the best place for the devotee to be to progress in their Krishna consciousness. So
Krishna Kana.
Yes, so it's Krishna Karma. 112:71-73. Not only the misguided descendants of Advaitacharya, but anyone who is against the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should be considered an atheist subject to be punished by Yamaraj. Be he a learned scholar, a great ascetic, a successful householder, or a famous sannyasi, one who is against the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is destined to suffer the punishment meted out by Yamaraj. The descendants of Advaitacharya who accepted the path of Sri Achyutananda were all great devotees. So the point is the pious also go to Yamaraj. They're all judged by him. Sinful, then, you know, it won't be as nice an arrangement. And those who are pious, then the arrangement is there. Nicer arrangement. But still, they have to see Yamaraj and they have to take another material body. Right? But for the devotees, they don't have to visit the Yamaraj, they don't have to take in the material body. Right? Remember Krishna, go back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada. In this connection, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Amrita Prabaha Bhashya, gives this short note. Sri Advaita Acharya is one of the important trunks of the Bhakti Kalpataru, or desire tree of devotional service. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as a gardener, poured water on the root of the Bhakti tree, and thus nourished all its branches and trunks and branches. But nevertheless, under the spell of Maya, the most unfortunate condition of a living entity, some of the branches, not accepting the gardener who poured water on them, consider the trunk the only cause of the great Bhakti Kalpataru. In other words, the branches or descendants of Dvaitacharya, who considered Dvaitacharya the original cause of the devotional creeper, and who thus neglected or disobeyed the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, deprived themselves of the effect of being watered and thus dried up and died. It is further to be understood that not only the misguided descendants of Advaitacharya, but anyone who has no connection with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even if he is independently a great sannyasi, learned scholar, or ascetic, he is like a dead branch of a tree. Right, so not seeing the connection with Lord Chaitanya and him being the original personality of Godhead and Advaitacharya as his incarnation, then they'll have problems. Let alone if they get distracted, even from that, just become a personalist. Right? This analysis by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, supporting the statements of Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, depicts the position of the present so-called Hindu religion, which, being predominantly conducted by the Mayavad philosophy, has become a hodgepodge institution of various concocted ideas. Mayavadis greatly fear the Krishna conscious movement and accuse it of spoiling the Hindu religion because it accepts people from all parts of the world and all religious sects and scientifically engages them in the Daivavarnashram Dharma. As we have explained, right, scientifically, as we have explained several times, however, we find no such words as Hindu in the Vedic literature. The word most probably came from Afghanistan, a predominantly Muslim country, and originally referred to a pass in Afghanistan known as Hindu Kush, which is still part of a trade route between India and various Muslim countries. The actual Vedic system of religion is called Varnashram Dharma, as confirmed in the Vishnu Purana. Vishnu Purana 3.8.9. The Vedic literature recommends that a human being follow the principles of Varnashram Dharma. Accepting the process of Varnashram Dharma will make a person's life successful, because this will connect him with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the goal of human life. Therefore, the Krishna conscious movement is meant for all of humanity. Although human society has different sections or subdivisions, all human beings belong to one species. And therefore we accept that they all have the ability to understand their constitutional position in connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms. Jivar Srupoi Krishner Nitya Das. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila 20.108. Every living entity is an eternal part and servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Every living entity who attains the human form of life can understand the importance of his position and thus become eligible to become a devotee of Lord Krishna, right? So all the human forms, they can all understand because that's the nature of them, right? They may not want to, but they all have that ability, because in the human life, then the consciousness, then is the covering is thin enough that they can actually see actual truth, right? Because the mode of goodness and that is there, they can take advantage of it and learn. So then the religion for humans is Varnashram. You don't want to follow, then that other categories can be established, right? Then you'll be looked at or which category within the human. But otherwise, it's counted as one species that is human, so everyone there can understand. Everyone can benefit. Does that make sense? So it is the religion of the Vaishnavas. Right? So does that make sense? So we're Vaishnav by philosophy and Varnashram by religion. Does that make sense? You know. And within that approach, we're going to use the Pancharatra, right? So therefore Vaishnavism, it'll be the Bhagavat, it'll have the Pancharatric aspect, and then with that we will view the Vedic. Does that make sense? Yeah, because then everybody can have a place in it. There's no other system where everybody can have a place, right? Because people are looking for that universal position by which everybody can be included, but only Varnashram accommodates that. No other system accommodates that. The other one says you have to adjust to fit in. This one is, no, wherever you're situated, that's how you connect. Then you purify yourself, and then you can make adjustments. But the main purification is that connection to Krishna. That's why Vishnu Purana is mentioning that the Varnashram is important, because it's a position by you can make your life successful. So that means you can take your position that you're inclined towards materially because of conditioning and apply that to Krishna. Varnashram can do that. Right? So that's why it's used. And at the same time, this is a secondary aspect, then your facilities and all that will be there. It will maintain you. But it's that it has the ability to be connected to Krishna consciousness, why it's worthwhile. That's why, according to Jiva Goswami, that's the Rig Vedadi aspect. All the different rituals and all those things mentioned in the Rig Veda and all that connection, all the Varnashram. It has a value because it can be used in pursuit of transcendental knowledge. It itself is not transcendental, but it's the perfect tool to work with. Right? So any other tools you use won't work as well. Right? There'll be some lacking because they're not designed to use in Krishna consciousness. Right? Any concept come up by the materialist, it's not designed for Krishna consciousness. It's designed for whatever their ultimate goal and their value is. Like capitalism is designed for making money, for economics. Capitalism is not designed around government or around the people or around education or knowledge or Brahmins or lifestyle. It's arranged around how you can make money. That's all it deals with. Right? It doesn't deal with how to run a country or how to deal with people or how to respect. Is there something in there? Right? It doesn't have. It means with observation you can see is that, okay, if you have some kind of moral system, it works a little better. Because strangely enough, people seem to have this sense of justice. Because otherwise, the best economic system would be we take all the money and you end up with nothing. That would be perfect, right? Means when you're working within the... It means we talk about the first world, right? And so it's supposed to be the just one and everything. Where did all the first world's, capital investment come from?
Africa, India.
South America. It came from wherever was as wealth-wise way more than whatever they had, but by going in there and just stealing it all, now they became third world countries, and now they're the first world. So was it gained by that just and, oh, first world, we're so just, we consider all these things and people, it means look at the history of Western Europe, the so-called first world, how they all got their initial capital that they became who they were. There was nothing just about it anywhere.
It's coming around now.
Yes, of course, it comes around, yeah. But the point is that the systems aren't complete enough. That's what we're saying. So capitalism will be part of the Varnashram, but it has its place and it has to be controlled by the government and by knowledge, by education. It doesn't have free reign. Otherwise, if it makes money, then it's perfect. It doesn't matter. It's just like I was just hearing the other day that someone was explaining about how India has its meals and everything, and they've always had it, and it's perfect. People eat it, they're good health and everything, it works nicely. But because you have these Western cereal companies, wanting to make money, and that India now is the people are middle class is coming up, middle class, they're the ones that spend money, right? The rich invest it, the poor don't have it. So, your liquid capital is in the middle class. Because they have money but don't know what to do with it. So then they are going to be the ones now they can exploit to get money. So they're trying to break down the Indian diet and show that their breakfast cereal, that's a perfect breakfast. Like that. So for them, destroying the culture, they don't care as long as they make money. There's an American aphorism, laughing all the way to the bank.
Yes.
You have this thing. It doesn't matter. You made the money.
I've seen they put muri into the cereal. With everything, they just add muri.
Oh, the Western
No, the company that they want to sell it here, they make it more adjustable to the English.
Oh, because they put some muri in it.
Muri.
Yeah, because everyone has muri. Yeah, yeah. It's fun. Yeah. Yeah, the funny part in the West, you know, puffed rice or Rice Krispies. They're there, but they're not as major as some of the Cheerios or cornflakes or something. No?
No, no.
This is too esoteric like that. Okay. We won't go into this. It's too confidential.
Even Indian movies are not the same. Bengali's Muri, they have their own position.
Yeah, of course.
The whole Muri
scene. Yeah, because you know, Muri's their thing, you know. Yeah, you'll never find as big a Muri as you get in the Navadvip Muri. You know, just won't get it, right? You know. Okay, so we're good? Yeah? Okay. Every living entity who attains the human form of life can understand the importance of its position and thus become eligible to become a devotee of Lord Krishna, right? So when they understand the importance, then they become eligible, right? Because then you can have Shraddha, you can have that faith, surrender, take up the association like this. Like, that's why we preach, is to give the association so it's understood. We take it for granted, therefore, that all humanity should be educated in Krishna consciousness. Indeed, in all parts of the world, in every country where we preach the Sankirtan movement, we find that people very easily accept the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra without hesitation. The visible effect of this chanting is that the members of the Hare Krishna movement, regardless of their backgrounds, all give up the four principles of sinful life and come to an elevated standard of devotion. Right? So you see that they're all able to do this. Although posing as great scholars, ascetics, householders, and swamis, the so-called followers of the Hindu religion are all useless, dried-up branches of the Vedic religion. They are impotent, right? Because Sanatan Dharma means it has to be eternal. So if it's eternal, that means it has to be the point of the forms, the activities, the efforts, all these things have to have that eternal aspect. That means it must be connected with the personal, right? So there must be an origin to that. So that's the Supreme Lord. So that application of Varnashram to the Supreme Lord as a person, as Bhagavan, that's your Sanatana Dharma, or your Daiva Varnashram. But otherwise, they're accepting it without the personality of Godhead, so therefore, that's why it's considered atheistic. They may be accepting the Vedas, but what we're looking at it is that you're taking, like you see, as Prabhupada will take, and he'll show how about the Indian culture and the Hindu tradition. It's just this position of what it can produce. And so then even personalities like Mahatma Gandhi will be included within, you know, the personalities who, you know, lead in the world scene. Right? But then he'll bring it to those who are properly following the Vedas. Right? Now that, then you drop off the impersonalists. And so then it's just, you're just left with the Vaishnavas. Like that, because then that's the actual. So, other than that, you can say technically they're atheists. If they don't accept all the way up to the personality of Godhead, then there's an atheistic aspect. Right? Does that make sense? So even if they say, you know, God is there and like this, but they ultimately, God is impersonal to them, to all these other forms. They worship demigods, God's impersonal. You know, they're Abrahamic, but God's impersonal ultimately. So that's the point. Or the Buddhists, and they worship Buddha, but ultimately it's all void. So you see, it always comes back to that. So technically, then they're in that way. So even if they're accepting Advaitacharya, if they're rejecting Lord Chaitanya, technically they're atheists, because where does Advaitacharya come from? Right? He's an aspect of Lord Chaitanya. He's an incarnation. They are impotent. They cannot do anything to spread the Vedic culture for the benefit of human society. The essence of the Vedic culture is the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya instructed, one should simply instruct everyone he meets regarding the principles of Krishna Katha, as expressed in Bhagavad Gita as it is, and Srimad Bhagavatam. One who has no interest in Krishna Katha or the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like dry, useless wood with no living force. The ISKCON branch, being directly watered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is becoming undoubtedly successful, whereas the discontinued branches of the so-called Hindu religion that are envious of ISKCON are drying up and dying. Yes. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Vrinda ki.